Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, where this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we welcome you to join us in devotion. At this time, we ask that Dr. Nuss would start us off with a song and read the scripture, and I will, well, one second. If we can start off with a song by Mr. Bryant, and then we'll read the scripture. Dr. Nuss, if there's a particular scripture you'd like for us to read tonight, we can do that. And if you would read that, and then I can do the prayer, if that's fine.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Again, we thank you for joining us across the United States and across the world to Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the world is explained today, tonight. As our host today, we'll start off with song, scripture, and then prayer. Our song for tonight is, "There is none like you. There's none other that can touch my heart like you do." We're giving God praise for all that he has done and all that he will do and for giving us salvation. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can serve for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. 'Cause I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none, there is none, there is none, there is none, there is none like you.
Amen. Dr. Nuss, would you read the scripture?
I'm sorry, I'm on mute. Ephesians 4:1-16. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. Because of your love, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now there are the gifts of Christ, the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So the responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing full of love.
Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? God, we come before you and we are praising you so much for the gifts that you have given us. Lord, we have talents that we use every day, but you blessed us with spiritual gifts from on high. Lord, thank you, and we just ask today that we might be able to align our actions, our posture, how we operate in this realm with the position that we have in Christ, our practice with our position. Help us to learn more about what it is that you have gifted us with in the Spirit. We are trusting that you lead, guide, and direct us through this Bible study this evening and ask that we might mature to be more like you. Help us, O God. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name we pray and trusting you for the victory in our lives. Amen. We are so excited this evening because we are going to continue our study on how to use understanding the spiritual gifts that we have been given. This is our lesson for the month of November. Last week, we talked a little bit about God help us to use our spiritual gifts. And if I'm correct, Dr. Nooks, tonight we're going to talk about what are some of our spiritual gifts?
Who has spiritual gifts?
Okay, so last week it was what are some spiritual gifts, and this week we're going to talk about who has spiritual gifts. So if you're ready to lead us in this, presently we have Mr. Bryant and myself and Dr. Nooks on the line. So if you're ready to begin, let's go. Let's go, let's go.
Amen. Amen. Who has the Bible? Who can read? I'd like to just start with Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. Brother Bryant, do you have a Bible? Dr. Susie?
I don't have a Bible with me.
Okay. I can go ahead and read this.
Okay.
Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And then I also, Dr. Susie, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Numbers chapter 27, verse 18.
Numbers chapter 27,
verse 18.
Okay. Any particular translation?
No.
Okay, I'll be reading that from the NIV. 27:18 says, "So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hands on him." How far do you want me to read?
That's far enough.
All right.
I just wanted to start out with an Old Testament references. Now, Brother Bryant, in that text in Joel 2:28-29, where it says, "As I will pour out His Spirit upon all people, people will prophesy in these visions, and men and women would do these miracles." What does that say to you?
What that says to me is that God will work in any and all of His people, and in particular in regard to His gifts, that God has no respect of man in regard to what gifts that He will give each of those who serve Him.
Amen. Dr. Susie?
Yes.
Talking about Joel 2:28-29, God pouring out His Spirit upon all people, and seeing visions and dreams, and men and women, servants, it won't matter. These people will have these spiritual gifts. How is that significant to our culture today and the church today?
I think it's important because it lets us know that gifts are the Spirit is working. The closer time comes to the end time eschatology, the end time, closer we get to that, God is releasing God's Spirit on all people so that God's word might get out and people might be given the opportunity to have to know who God is. And so whether it's a woman or a man or a young boy or whomever, God is using people to manifest the message, His message, God's message.
Amen. Amen. Well, God is no respecter of persons. God is going to use different people and a certain gender or race or age. A person doesn't have a lock on the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about who has spiritual gifts here today. So you can see there from that message alone that spiritual gifts can be poured out upon whomever God sees fit to pour them out on.
Amen.
And then I wanted to go to Numbers 27:18 to kind of start this out, because that says, "The Lord replied, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the Spirit in him, and lay your hands on him." So this was prior to Christ coming. And I just wanted to point out that God moved in the Hebrew Scriptures, and people were endowed with spiritual gifts in the Old Testament. And, of course, that's to say the Old Testament is an offense to Jewish people because they call it the Hebrew Scriptures or the Jewish Scriptures. But prior to Christ coming, God worked in the Old Testament as well, or the Hebrew Scriptures. So I think that's significant to us understanding that God provides gifts to whomever God wants to provide gifts to. But things have changed since Christ came, and we want to look at that. So my first, yes.
You know, what I thought was really interesting about this text is in my previous studies about the Old Testament, when the Spirit would be involved with individuals, it would lay on them. It was, it's the first time I remember seeing that it says the Spirit is in him, because it was my understanding that that really didn't take place until after the Acts passage, when the Holy Spirit came upon the people. It was my understanding that previously the Holy Spirit would kind of reside on them, not in them. And so what I just wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Yeah, and actually Saul, the king of Israel, when he sinned against God by trying to do the work of the priest, he said that the Spirit of God left him. So the Spirit of God was in Saul also. So what I'm trying to express in these Hebrew scriptures is that God was moving prior to Christ coming here literally. And of course, Christ has always been around. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But we need to understand that the Holy Spirit was moving before Christ came and before the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit was moving in a different way. The Spirit now is upon all believers. But in that time, prior to the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon whomever the Holy Spirit wanted to come upon, whomever God wanted it to come upon. And it actually indwelt in people. And we see here that it was in Joshua. So, I mean, and that really says something about Joshua at that time. The Holy Spirit was in Joshua. And the Holy Spirit was in Saul. And the Holy Spirit could come upon whomever it wanted to. But it wasn't given corporately like it is now to all believers. But I wanted to bring that up. And my first question was, do you have to be a Christian to have the gift of the Spirit? Mm-hmm. Gifts of the Spirit. And I wanted your input on that.
Sean,
you
joined the group.
Okay. Do you have to be a Christian or be saved in order to have the gifts of the Spirit? An opinion on
anybody?
That?
Anybody?
What did you say?
I was hoping you would call names. It's me, Mark, and Sean on the line.
Okay. I said Dr. Susie, but...
I didn't hear you call me.
Okay.
But I can give my perspective. And again, the question was, did I feel that? What? Would you repeat that?
Do you have to be a Christian to receive the gifts of the Spirit?
Well, I can simply say probably... I would think that according to our understanding is that the moment that we become saved and in relationship with God, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. However, we do know that the prophet, that Balaam spoke and the Spirit came upon him, that even an ass talked. So I think God can use whomever God wants to use or whatever God wants to use to get God's point across. But generally speaking, I would say that it would generally, God generally works within those who have a relationship.
This is Mark. I had a question too. I didn't know what the difference was having the Spirit on someone versus in someone. But secondly, I agree with Dr. Susie that God will bless whomever he decides to. His will be done. He's no respecter of man in regard to the blessing that he may place on a person. But I think the specific gifts are for those who have a relationship with Christ.
Okay. And in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, that was before the day of Pentecost, and that was before Christ came physically. And so you had a different situation. But you did have the people of God in the Hebrew scriptures that were influenced by the Spirit, and people did receive gifts of the Spirit at that time. God gave them land. God delivered them from their enemies. God caused a small people to be warriors and victorious. So the Spirit moved. I wanted to just kind of review some of the gifts of the Spirit before we get going.
I was just going to say, for those people who are Old Testament scholars who are listening, there is a disagreement about that. Some scholars believe that the Holy Spirit only resided in a person for the period of time for them to do whatever it was that was needed, the ministry that was needed. And so that's not, some people think that that occurred, and some people think that actually, as Dr. Nixon and I were saying, that the Holy Spirit actually had an inward ministry among people, did regeneration and indwelling, whereas others believe it was just a temporary presence of the Holy Spirit upon you to do what you needed to be done, but that it was not a dwelling. But the point, I think, is that God was able to do whatever God needed to do through that conduit, and continues to do so through the Holy Spirit today. However, we know clearly in scriptures that the Holy Spirit resides in us, that once we accept the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and it's the Spirit that chooses to give gifts only. It is the role of the Spirit to pick and choose and to give gifts to each person.
Amen. And I agree with that. And many, I think most of the scholars think that this moving of the Spirit in the Old Testament was for a period of time. And some think that in the New Testament it's the same situation, that it was for a specific purpose, for a specific time. And some of them doubt miracles can be done today. And that's where I would have a disagreement with some of those scholars. And some of them doubt that the gifts of the Spirit are active today. But I think many of them have a problem with the people that profess to be miracle workers, but I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I wanted us to look at just a review of some of the gifts of the Spirit, and then I wanted to get into a discussion of Ephesians 4, because I think it's a great text. They're looking at the foundational scriptures. We find these gifts, and I'm just going to list some of the gifts that the Spirit is given, and also fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:13-26, we find the fruits of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are fruits of the Spirit that ought to come out of the Spirit working in our lives. And so we ought to be experiencing some love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That ought to be something that we as believers are experiencing if the Spirit is in us. And in 1 Corinthians 12:1-31, there's a lot of gifts identified there. Gifts of giving wise advice, special knowledge, having great faith, a gift of healing. And there are people that doubt that people can be healed through the Spirit now. I don't. I believe they can. Power to perform miracles, ability to prophesy, ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or not, ability to speak in unknown tongues, ability to interpret what is said, being said in unknown tongues. The gift of apostles, prophets, teachers, those that do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who are helpers, and those who have a gift of leadership. And now, another set of gifts are serving others in Romans 12, 1 through 16. Teaching, encouraging others. That's a gift of the Spirit, is to encourage people. Giving, that's a gift. Leadership ability, showing kindness to others. That ought to be something that we, all of us ought to have some of as a gift of the Spirit. And then in Ephesians, we find the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. What gift of those, what gift in that list of gifts causes the most controversy in the church? Sean or Mark? What gift do we wrestle with and cause?
I think that probably the gift of tongues probably was one of the biggest controversies, because when they were in the upper room, the Spirit came upon them and they spoke in different tongues. And so that's where, you know, at that particular time, it was controversial.
Amen. And it's controversial now. There are those that don't believe in tongues. There are those that do, and there are those that believe that if there's the gift of tongues, that there needs to be somebody there to interpret.
It would be interesting to me, Dr. Hicks, if we could find out who on the line believes in the gift of tongues.
Okay. Who do we have on the line?
This is Sean. I'm on the line.
Okay.
I'm one of me, I guess, but I believe in the gift of speaking in tongues. Absolutely.
And how do you see that operating, Sean?
What do you mean? How do I see that operating?
Well, different people perceive the gift of tongue as being that which is a language that's used at a designated time when it's needed, and other people who see it as different ways of using that. So how do you see that? Some people can
Well, I think I'm not a Bible scholar, but my experience is I think it is God, the Spirit of God in you speaking in a different language. I mean, there are many, many, many different languages on this earth, and I mean, I think we limit ourselves in our experience of perspective of thinking that, you know, we can only speak or, you know, have understanding one language. You know, Spirit of God, you know, is different than, you know, the human experience. I mean, you know, so I just think that that's the Spirit of God within you, you know, speaking. And sometimes you may understand what it's saying or, you know, what you're speaking, and sometimes you may not, but I do believe it's just God, the Spirit of God within you, you know, expressing itself.
Anybody else?
Amen.
Mark?
This is Mark. I totally agree with Sean that speaking in other tongues is God's way of expressing himself through your voice in different languages.
So does the speaker know what they're speaking?
Depending, you know, it's interesting that in most cases, you know, each person has their individual experience. I can only speak from my experience. I've had the experience of speaking and not knowing, and speaking and knowing, as well as speaking and someone else interpreting what I'm saying, and that other person speaking, and I've been able to interpret what they said.
Okay. So what you're saying is when a person is speaking in tongues, that tongue can be unknown to the speaker, but there can be a person who can interpret that and have clarity. And there's times when the speaker can also be the interpreter and have knowledge and understanding as well.
Absolutely.
Somebody's
trying to put the phone on mute.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, the Bible clearly talks about speaking in tongues. The controversy in the church on the issue of speaking in tongues, well, there's, I guess, two controversies. One is that can people really speak in tongues, and do they speak in tongues? And the other controversy is, do all people have to speak in tongues to be saved? And I think that's probably the biggest controversy, is the belief that everybody has to speak in tongues to be saved. And we read 1 Corinthians 12 last week. The question at the end of the chapter was, do all speak in tongues? Do all, are all apostles, are all prophets? And the reference, the implication is no, everybody doesn't speak in tongues. Everybody is not an apostle. But there are churches that believe that everyone must speak in tongues to be saved. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not saved.
This is Mark. I'm not so sure that one can make the statement that if you don't speak in tongues that you're not saved. But I do believe what the scripture speaks of, those who take that speaking in tongues is it's a gift that is not something that you work for. It's an opportunity for all to have. And then secondly, after you speak using this gift, that God gives you a certain amount of power that goes along with that. It's almost like having a stronger relationship with Christ.
Yeah, let's turn to Acts chapter 19. Does somebody have that? Sean, do you have your Bible? Acts chapter 19.
Driving.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Driving.
Don't look at me, Bob, Sean. Okay. Dr. Hughes, I guess it's you and I have Bibles. Let's look at Acts 19 and starting at the first verse. I have it here. I can read it if that's okay. Do you have it, Dr. Hughes?
Yes, I do. Acts 19, beginning with the first verse.
Yeah, and read at least to the sixth verse.
It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all.
Amen. Amen. So clearly, I mean, in Scripture talks about other instances where people spoke in tongues, and Paul spoke in other tongues. Paul actually spoke in other languages, too. So I definitely believe that people can speak and do speak in tongues. I do not believe that speaking in tongues is a condition of salvation. And that's my belief. I believe that speaking in tongues does enhance, I think, one's relationship with Christ, but it doesn't make one's relationship with Christ better than somebody else's. Personally, I don't like people talking about going to different levels. I mean, that can be, we can improve ourselves and our relationship with God, but we don't need to compare ourselves with somebody else and where they are. When we start doing that, I think we're starting to get on the wrong track. My belief in God can be enhanced But that doesn't mean that my belief is stronger than somebody else's belief that maybe doesn't speak in tongues. So I think we get kind of in dangerous territory when we start doing that. And what are your thoughts on that, those that are on the line?
Brother Brian, Reverend Diggs, Sean.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay. I think sometimes we make simple things too complicated. I mean, God is almighty, and he said, I'll decide who I want, when I want, and where I want. And I think when you start there, that answers a lot of questions that we have about comparing and judging. I mean, you don't have a choice. Some of this is just, you know, God has decided, and that's it. You have to accept his, you know, so to say, well, you know, you're closer or you're better or, you know what I'm saying? I just think that's unnecessary pressure, and I don't think it makes you better or in a better position. You know what I'm saying? I just think that people lose, you know, I don't know. I guess that's just, in general, my perspective. I don't like that either, I guess, really what it comes down to, because I think that's just the human side of being competitive and that whole comparison, you know, I'm better, I'm more saved than you are. I mean, I just think as long as you make it to heaven, God is, you know, he said, I chose you. So he's going to decide, you know what I'm saying, who gets what. We're all supposed to be different. If he meant for us to be the same, he would have made us the same. So in the basic foundation, you have to look, okay, he made each of us unique. So we're not going to be the same, and we are supposed to love each other in our differences and not trying to be alike. If he wanted us to be alike, we would be. So I think when you're a Christian or people who call themselves Christian, but yet they do that whole thing of comparison and judging and all, that's up to God to judge. He's the final judge. And so you answer to him, and what he says goes. And I would, you know, I think it makes people feel insecure, and it's just wrong. It's just a wrong teaching, I think, and make people, you know. So anyway, that's just my thought.
Right. Thank you for that insight, Sean. If no one else, I'd like for us to get to Ephesians 4, and we can continue the discussion about it. But I want us to read, someone read Ephesians 4, 1 through 7 for us. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7.
Go ahead and read it, Doctor. This is me and you with the Bible.
Okay. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now, hearing
Doctor, go ahead.
Yes.
No, I was just celebrating a minute ago when we were talking about gifts and the valuing of the fact that the reason why Sean was also saying that, you know, we all have different gifts is the edification of the body, which is why we're, you know, the reason why we're to be a body is so that we can help one another. And so I think that's one of the pertinent reasons as to why we don't all have the same gift, even though Paul says that we can solicit the gifts. so.
Amen. But verse 7 says that we all have at least a gift. You know,
right.
We read some of the gifts before. Being a supporter, being a giver, being someone that teaches, these are all, they're all gifts. And they're not natural gifts. I don't know if you all have ever experienced feeling something spiritually that you know didn't come from yourself. Because if you had done it naturally, you would do something different. But sometimes God gives people special gifts that don't even line up with their personality. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but yet God gives it. And just like if God gives you the gift, the spiritual gift of preaching or teaching, and you ordinarily would not want to preach or teach, but yet when you preach or teach in the Spirit, it feels right to you. And you are anointed in a special way to be able to do that. And it's above and beyond even learning, education. You can have some natural abilities, but the gift of the Spirit is just something special. It touches people in a way that is beyond our understanding, really.
Dr. Nook, this is Sean. One other thing I would add to that is, to me, this is how my perspective on it. I think anywhere in the world where you see someone who is an exception in their ability, that is their gift. I don't think you're truly gifted on your own. I think that is God manifesting himself through you if you are an exception in whatever it is you're doing. So I think sometimes people think, anybody, where you're talking an Oprah Winfrey, a Michael Jordan, anybody that, like I said, is exception in their field, like you said, whether they're preaching, teaching, whatever it is, speaking, that is just to me, and I didn't understand this early in my Christian walk, but I truly believe now that is just God manifesting himself through that person. And it's not something that you can, like you said, get through education. I think an exceptional, because if it was, everyone who went to school with you would be doing it. So if you're outstanding in that field, that you got an extra blessing, you got something a little extra, and that little extra, to me, is God's blessing on you.
But there's a difference. Go ahead, Mark.
I think there's a difference between a gift and a talent. Mm-hmm. I think there's a specific difference between the two. And I also believe that God says, I'll give to the just as well as the unjust. And so many times, when we see people do things or have things, many of those things are very subjective versus objective. And I really, I don't know if we can classify that every time we see somebody do something exceptional, that is God showing himself. I mean, I would love to think that, but I think there is a difference between a gift and a talent.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hicks?
Dr. Seuss, were you going to say something, Dr.
I was just
Seuss?
Trying to figure out what you were going to say regarding that.
I was going to go to verse 11 and 12 and sort of talk about it there.
Okay.
But I agree that there is something above talent, and that's the spiritual gift. Because, I could work hard and I could work out and get stronger and better and be able to jump higher, and that's a physical ability. but then I might have the physical ability to do that, but then God might give me a spiritual gift of teaching. And the teachers that are educated in teaching have the skills and talents to do that, but if God gives me a spiritual gift, there's going to be something special about my teaching. And there needs to be a reason for my gift if I have spiritual gifts. And that's what we want to talk about here in 11 and 12.
Well, the biggest difference is that the spiritual gifts are for the purpose of edification of the kingdom of God.
And that's what 11 and 12 is about. That's why I wanted to read that.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I can stop right there, and I think a lot of us have been saying that. But if you have a spiritual gift, your purpose is not for yourself. If I have a spiritual gift, my purpose in speaking in tongues, my purpose in teaching, my purpose in preaching is not to edify myself, but it's to build up the body of Christ.
Amen. So does everybody on the line have an idea what their spiritual gift is based on what we've talked about tonight? Could you kind of repeat some of the spiritual gifts, Dr. Nuss?
Yes, I can. Since I get to it, I'm almost there.
Okay. So,
I'll start with the gifts instead of the fruits of the Spirit. Gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, special knowledge, gift of faith, having great faith, gift of healing, power to perform miracles, ability to prophesy, ability to discern whether a message is from God or from somewhere else, ability to speak in unknown tongues, ability to interpret what is being said in those tongues, to be an apostle, a prophet, a teacher. Some of these are repeated. One that can help others. That's a gift, be able to help others. Leadership, those who have a gift of leadership. And you're just a natural leader. Serving others. And I'm not going to repeat the ones that I repeat. Encouraging others. That's a gift. And encourage you.
So,
giving.
So has anybody heard some of their gifts at this point? Sean and Mark?
All the being kind.
This is Sean. I think I have a couple. I think I have mine is still, I'm going to preface this by saying it's still, you know, being clarified to me, but I think that I do have the ability to speak in tongues. I do feel that I have a spirit that helps meet people's needs, and that is, I think that is my service, is to help people meet their needs. So those are a couple that kind of stand out in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
both that come to mind from the list that you spoke of are giving, faith, speaking in tongues, leadership.
Amen. Pastor Diggs or Brian, any of you want to talk about the gifts that you might have?
Yes, this is Brian. I do believe that I have gifts, the gift of helping others, and I do also believe that I have the gift of teaching. When I experience these things, it's something that I truly have a delight in doing and a desire to want to be there to help. And I feel it when I'm doing it. Sometimes I'm doing it without even realizing that it's happening. And not that I'm looking for feedback, but I receive feedback from various ones without even realizing that I have helped them in some way or another. And that just brings joy to me just to know that I've been able to do that.
Amen.
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 What about you, Dr. Susan?
I you know, one of the things, I mean, I think I have lots of the gifts, but one of them that I was amazed to have, I actually did I was in Harare, Zimbabwe, and did a, what do you call it? Billy Graham used to do them all the time. Anyway, I don't know what it's called.
Spiritual gifts test, you mean?
A spiritual gift what?
The spiritual gifts test, you mean?
That Billy Graham did? What I was saying is that I went to do I don't remember what they call them, but I went overseas and I did where I did exhortation of the word, and they call them something. I'm losing my mind, but so I went overseas and I actually did a crusade. There you go. Oof, Jesus, that was hard. I did a crusade, and while I was there, they were asking that I preach the word. And so I preached the word for hours, and then they would ask me to preach longer. And then I was so tired that I actually had to get a chair. And I said, you know, I'm exhausted, so what I can do is pray for the people. There were people miles around the building, they just wound around the building, who came for prayer simply because they had to exercise their spiritual muscles and believing what God would do for them, because they didn't have the finances to go to a doctor. They didn't have the resources to be able to do that. And so they prayer was their methodology that they expected God to perform miracles. And as I prayed for them and laid hands on them, they were healed of various things. I didn't know about the activities that were taking place. But after I left the crusade, the pastor and a group of people sent back to let me know of all the different miracles that had occurred as a result of it. Now, we in America do not use our spiritual muscles as much because we have so much available to us. But when people don't have anything, then they have a tendency to depend on the Lord more. And I was just grateful to be able to be used in that manner. And so I think we have a lot of things that God can use us for at the time if we're open and available. And so I just praise God for
Amen.
That.
Amen. And I agree with you, Dr. Susan. You know, First Timothy, let me find it. But in Mark 5, it tells the story of Jairus' daughter that died. And there were people there. Jesus asked, you believe? And some people didn't believe, and those that didn't believe, he put them out. And only one of the people there that believed. Because it makes a difference if you believe that you can be used by God to do things. I also heard the gift of healing and laying on of hands, and I don't exercise it that much. And well, the church suffers as a result of it because when we don't exercise the gifts that we have, then we're not edifying the body. We're not building up the body of Christ. And Timothy was reminded not to waste or forget about his spiritual gifts. And we need to be reminded of the same thing. Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
And I think we need to understand what's happening is what was happening is that God already ordained before the foundation of the world that for example, when Jairus' daughter was healed and Jesus moved the people out of the room, is because as before the foundation of the world, God had ordained that she would be healed and would be raised. And so what happens is it's already granted in the spiritual realm that those things would take place. But our faith and belief and profession of via our mouth is what releases the things that have occurred in the heavenly realm to manifest itself in the earthly realm. And so if you have people who aren't willing to believe that and are non-productive because it says whatever we release, whatever we bind, therefore he wanted a consensus of what would happen so that that would be manifested. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen.
And then 1 Timothy 4:14 is what I was looking for. It says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Can you imagine how much better our lives would be if we exercise the spirit, and if we have the gift of healing, if we have the gift of wisdom, if we have the gift of prophecy to speak a word for the Lord, and we started using them, and when people were sick, that we would lay hands on people, those that have the gift of healing. If we have a word of knowledge, if we have a gift of wisdom, and people get in financial problems, then we have the wisdom to help them out if we would only exercise. But Satan has tricked us into not using our gifts and doubting that we have them. So my prayer is that we would understand that we have power and we have God inside of us. And if we would exercise these spiritual gifts, that we could do, Jesus said, we would do greater things than he did. But if we don't believe, if we doubt, it's like Jesus saying, get out of here. You can't do anything in this house. But if we would only believe and have faith, and we need to have faith in God, not in ourselves. But if God gave us something and we exercise it and use it, and it's for the edifying of the body of Christ, not for our own glory. And I just believe that we are missing the boat. God has given us these gifts. Lord, have mercy. We ought to use them. Praise God.
Dr. Nix, can I read something? This is from my devotion. It says, prayer generals do more than just describe to God what God already knows. They actually unlock heaven's vaults in order to unleash heaven's provisions. It is only after you make the request that spiritual helicopters and divine airplanes are deployed, loaded with supplies and everything you need brought to that village. By praying with specificity, you can establish your own little bit of heaven on earth right in the middle of a battle zone. Ask what you will and it shall be done. That is exactly what you've been called to do wherever God has planted you. And so because we have the opportunity to ask God for those gifts, we have the opportunity to verbalize that which can be released in heaven to manifest itself on earth. It's up to us to begin to walk and to talk in what we have, and that is the gift of the Spirit, the ability to speak with power and prayer, through prayer, that which God has given us the authority to do so. But until we recognize what authority we have, what gifts we have, we don't have the power, as Dr. Nichol says, we've been fooled to believe that we don't have it. But until we begin to walk in that, we don't have the authority, or we don't utilize the power, the spiritual power that God has already granted us. So we then have to align that which is our practice with our position in the Lord. When we can align that, then we will have all kinds of power.
Amen.
Can I just make a quick contribution to this? One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, I think it's John 14 or John 15, where it says, if you abide in me, it's Jesus speaking, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it will be done. And then it goes on and says, to the glory of my Father. So when you abide in God and his word, studying and his word is in you, like the word says, like Dr. Susie is saying, and you speak his word, it is his word has power, and it creates what you have spoken. And in that power being manifested through you, then it glorifies God. So to me, that just supports the lesson tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's 8:02, Dr. Susie. So.
Yeah, we had a few more minutes, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody had clarity about the gifts that they have and their opportunities to understand that the spiritual gifts are those things which are, as Dr. Nix was saying, are made to edify the kingdom of God and the importance of that. So my question to everybody at the table is, so you already know what your gifts are. Are you using them?
And I'm not using mine as I should. I'll say that. And that's one thing that I'm convicted of.
Mark, Sean, Brian?
This is Sean. I am trying. They actually work. Let me put it this way. I guess they're always working, but sometimes this is just me criticizing myself. I wish I could master it where it would happen, like, every time. So I feel like it's, like, hit or miss. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. The speaking in tongues, that type of thing, always works. But, I mean, as far as creating and, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, that's just my journey and in my process. I'm still growing in the Lord, so.
This is Brian. I believe that I every chance I get the opportunity, I try to use my gifts. I also believe that a lot of times the Lord puts us in the circumstances where he will take things away from you. Let me use the metaphor of a blind person, a person that at one time could see, but then their sight was taken away from them. At that point, when their sight was taken away from them, they start to realize that although they couldn't see, they had other abilities that was awakening in that person, and they start to realize that they still had sight, but other things, the smell, the touch, those things were heightened. So I'm saying that just to say that sometimes that God puts us in circumstances or he takes things away from us so that it gives us the opportunity to use the gifts that he's given us. It awakens those things that are naturally already in us, the power that's already in us. And a lot of times when I'm in church, and especially as a child, I'm in church and I see people singing loud, singing songs, dancing in church and screaming. And I never understood those things. But as an adult, I can clearly understand why people do such things, because they're so thankful of the gift that God has given him, given the ability to just stand. Something little as that, giving them the ability to just hold on just one day and know that by you holding on, God is giving, he's making you realize that you are more powerful and stronger than you realize. So by taking things away from you or putting one in a situation allows those things to awaken. Amen.
Amen. I had a question, Dr. Nux. When I lost my daughter, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
When I lost my daughter, I remember a woman coming up to me. I never forget this. She said, "If you just had faith, you could have raised your daughter from the dead, but you didn't have enough faith." And I think that this becomes a challenge when people begin to be judgmental and to dictate to other people what they can or cannot do and how God can and cannot operate in their lives. How does the group feel about that?
This is Mark. One of the things that I think one has to be fundamentally sound about is to recognize, one, what the gift is, and to recognize their place in God. And so when people make statements about another person they may or may not know, you know, one has to, one, recognize that everything that God does or says, he confirms. That's number one. Number two is that if you have faith, whether it be to raise the dead or to have some kind of circumstance change, it's still God's will that will happen within that situation or circumstance. So we have to get beyond that which those may say to us or judge us, or even our own fears. Because at the end of the day, God's will be done. It is truly incumbent upon us to use our faith and our skills and our talent for whatever God has given us to move situations as they may come. But God's will be done no matter what. You know, beyond our fear, beyond our doubt, beyond any type of circumstance.
Yeah, this is James, and I would refer her to the story of Paul praying three times that he would be healed of the ailment that he had, and God would not do that, and Paul found out that grace was sufficient. And I also have come to understand through working as a chaplain that death is not the worst thing that can happen to people. And sometimes those that go to be with God, it's a beautiful thing. And so I have a totally different perspective on death than what I had a few years ago. And God has God's plan and God's time. You know, and we know that it's given for a person time to live, time to die. And so people that say that you should have, if you had greater faith, you could have done this and you could have done that, there's always the God factor that's in there that supersedes anything that we might think about or want to do ourselves personally. And sometimes what we think is horrible is maybe not so horrible, not the horrible thing that we think it is. But there's always a God factor. And that people should not be made to feel guilty if their child dies. I mean,
yeah.
that's terrible.
And there are people out in who are listening today that may have lost a loved one, and for someone to come to them, I would hope that you can hear us tonight, don't let someone put that guilt trip on you that we have to. I think Sean said that someone was saying that or Mark that there's a season, a time and a season for all things. It says in Ecclesiastes, a time to live, a time to die. So we need to understand that God is the one who has the final say on that. And as Dr. Nix was saying, sometimes the answer is no, that our loved one won't stay here. And then I have a tendency to believe that when God wants to manifest God's self in our lives, that someone said we received that affirmation. The individuals would know, those of us who are in the Lord now. So, but anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. Is there anybody else who wanted to leave us with any thoughts, other thoughts about the gifts of the Spirit?
This is Sean, and if I could just make a comment.
Sure.
It's kind of on the subject of death. I don't know if this is true, but I heard that when you have met your purpose, you know, because God, you know, brought you here, you know what I'm saying? So nobody just shows up on their own, you know. That when you have served your purpose, that's when you die. That's kind of what I've heard on the streets before. I don't know if that's a true statement or not. But, you know, and I guess it kind of goes along to what you're saying to some degree. If it was his will for you to still be here, you would be here. That's why I think some people have these what they call close calls. You know, you say, well, wow, how did this person survive this crash and everybody else died or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if this guy's will for you to be here, you're going to be here. And when it's time for you to go, he's going to take you and that's it. So I don't know if that goes in line with, you know, the comments I've heard people say in terms of, you know, when you no longer, you know, when you've met your purpose, God's purpose for you, then he takes you home. And I, you know, I don't know what you guys thought around that or not.
Okay. That's enough. Your last word.
I think that it's from God's perspective, Sean, I agree with that. It's with people, but sometimes babies die, and you wonder what purpose that they served, and what, you know, why would God allow a baby to die? And but that's where we don't understand God, you know, and we won't, I don't think, until we come before him and maybe we'll understand things better. It's all good. We'll understand it better by and by. But yeah, I guess in a final word, I'm just excited about understanding gifts, and I think trying to understand our gifts and making a commitment to try to exercise those gifts more. I exercise some of my gifts, but I don't exercise all of them as I should. And I want to do better, and I pray to God to give me strength and knowledge and ability to do that.
Amen. Are there any prayer requests or prayer concerns? I would ask for myself. This is Dr. Susie. I ask that you pray for strength and the ability to produce sermons and things that are needed. I'm exhausted. And there are so many spiritual battles that are taking place, and one of those spiritual battles, I believe the spiritual battles take place in the mind, and I think that's where the enemy tries to cloud us so that I would have the clarity in my mind to be able to do that which God wants me to do. So I ask for prayer for that and renewed energy and health for myself and my son, James, and my daughter.
This is Mark.
I request prayer for Pastor Vern and Sister Ida Mullins, special prayer for them for healing and strength.
This is Mark Parsons asking prayer for, as I go into to the doctor on Friday, as well as prayer that I walk in wisdom as well as full use of my gift.
This is Sean. My prayer request is that God would meet my financial need, providing me with a place of my own to live, and where He would have me to work, and that He would, you know, manifest His glory through me, and that my life would be just, you know, be what He, you know, created me and purposed me to be here for. So I want my gift, my spiritual understanding of God in me to, you know, have clarity around that and to operate within that spirit that God is within me.
Amen. I asked as well that you all would be in prayer with me. My book is being released and soon, and that it would be able to reach people, that the Lord would put it in the right places, in the right hands, and that the marketing of it would be successful. And I'll ask everybody to buy a copy.
Oh.
Funny.
Amen.
All right, then. I would, is anybody volunteer to close with prayer tonight?
I'll close. God, we just thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. God, we are excited about your spirit in us. And God, we seek to be used by you. Help us to see Satan as Satan is, and to overcome the doubt, the fear, and help us to exercise our gifts that you've given us. God, we pray a special prayer for Dr. Susie for strength and against the spiritual battles that she's engaged in, that she would be victorious in your name and in your will. God, we pray for the church that she's pastoring now, that you would use her in a special way. God, we pray a special prayer for Pastor and Sister Mullins, that you would bring healing and strength to both of them, God, that he would be able to go home and to be able to walk and to get around. God, we pray a special prayer for Mark as he goes in to the doctor on Friday, God, for his continued healing and his health. In Jesus' name, we give it over to you, God. And we pray that he would get the full use of the gifts of the Spirit in his life. And God, we pray a special prayer for Sean, God, that you would just meet her financial needs, God, and she would provide the position that she needs, that she would be able to get a place of her own, God, and that she would, that you would be manifested in her life, God, and your glory would be seen through her. God, we give it all over to you, God, and we ask that you would touch and bless in a special way Dr. Susie's book, that it would be used for your glory, that it would touch people, God, and help people's lives. And it's about to be released, and God, we just pray a special prayer upon that release and upon that book. We pray for all those that are on the line right now. We pray for a special healing in their lives. We pray for a special deliverance. We pray for strength beyond our own strength. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will have its way in our lives. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.